to have you with us on Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Kyle Stokes, sitting in Larry Mantle's chair for the week. Glad to be with you, and thanks for putting up with me, as I know that Larry is taking a well-deserved vacation. Coming up later in the hour, we're going to talk about old desserts, defunct desserts, in fact. We're wondering if there's a dessert out there that has gone away, that maybe the bakery closed or the restaurant stopped serving this dessert. We're wondering if we might be able to bring that dessert back. We'll explain coming up later in this hour, but first, a conversation about aging. Let's play some word association. If I say Florida, you might say the word retirees. One out of every five people in Florida is over the age of 65. Well, why are we talking about Florida? Because California, that is our future, our near future, in fact. By 2030, just 10 years or so from now, a decade from now, California's population will have as high a share of residents aged 65 plus as Florida has now, a demographic shift that will certainly place an added strain on both public and private resources for the state's senior citizens. Currently, there are four working age Californians for every senior citizen. By 2030, that ratio will drop. Only three working age Californians supporting one older resident. State leaders have taken notice. Governor Gavin Newsom last week signed an executive order calling for a statewide master plan on aging. And with that, we want to hear this hour from older listeners or those who are close caregivers to a senior citizen. The question is, what's it been like getting older in California? What should the state be thinking about as it writes this new master plan for aging? Give us a call, 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722. What services, public or private, are needed to support California's senior citizens? What exists that's good and helpful right now? What are the gaps that need to be filled? We're talking about anything here, from medical care to transportation to financial services to opportunities to make new friends and avoid social isolation. 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722. Or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. With me here in the studio is Michelle Faust-Raghavan, a KPCC healthcare reporter who covers elder issues. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So what is this plan that Governor Gavin Newsom has called for, this master plan for aging? What is it supposed to include?
Well, it is going to be looking at all things related to aging in the state of California. And this is something that we'll just see. What they're doing is doing some different brainstorming sessions. They'll be creating a board of folks who will be making this master plan. That's coming out October 2020, according to what Governor Newsom has called for. And a lot of the folks that I'm talking to are saying they're really grateful that this is happening, but many are saying this really should have happened years ago. This is preparing for the so-called silver tsunami, the explosion in the number of seniors in the state. But a lot of their healthcare needs and other needs are not necessarily being addressed now. And they say that really this might be later than we really need it to start.
Yeah, you say other needs. I mean, you might just tick off some of those briefly. I mean, because I think
housing,
it's easy to think about it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, I think of things in the healthcare lens, but housing is a big issue. We've got about 30% of seniors don't have enough income to cover their basic needs. And a lot of the questions that I've been getting from our listeners and our readers are specifically about housing, about their fear of losing where they live. This is a big issue. We have a big issue of elder abuse, if you've heard in my coverage. But a lot of that elder abuse is also considered self-abuse. What is self-abuse? It just means that you don't have whatever it is that you need to take care of yourself. Sometimes that is just because you're not looking, seeking that out and you have the means. But for many, it's not having the means to feed, clothe, bathe, and take care of your healthcare needs.
Also joining us here on the line is Bruce Chernoff, the president and chief executive officer of the SCAN Foundation, an independent public charity based in Long Beach, working to transform care for older adults. Mr. Chernoff, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been working with the governor's office on this master plan. I'm wondering if you can sort of respond to what our reporter here in the studio, Michelle Faust-Raghavan, has said, is that there are people that she's talking to saying it's great that this is coming forward, but that the governor might be a little behind the ball on this.
I don't think that's exactly what she said, but I totally agree with her. So I think what I heard her say is people are excited. I'm hearing the same thing. I think the challenge that she articulated, which I completely agree with, is that this is something that previous governors probably should have done, could have done, but didn't do. And while I personally would have preferred this discussion happen 10 years ago, I'm really glad it's happening now.
What did you push to have the governor include in this plan?
Well, from the foundation's perspective, we start with the person and their circle of care. You know, we have a healthcare delivery system and a service delivery system that's really built for the convenience of those who pay for services and those who provide the services. And so ultimately, almost all of us have had an experience helping a loved one with needs, it's a real challenge. Ultimately, you're sort of left with the responsibility of kind of connecting all the dots and connecting all the pieces. And you can have a thoroughgoing discussion, say, about your healthcare needs when somebody should also be asking you if you're having trouble paying for your housing or trouble paying for energy or transportation issues. So I think the thing that we encouraged the governor to do was a couple of things. One was to take a view that's broader than just healthcare. This is aging and all policy, and particularly in areas like housing and transportation, just as your reporter identified. That's spot on. We also think that this is a discussion about more than just people who are poor today and qualify for public programs. We're all going to age. And many Californians have not saved enough money, have never recovered from the recession a decade ago, and will face real economic challenges as they age. We need to help everybody age successfully.
We'd like to hear from you as well, AirTalk listeners. Those of you who are getting older, tell us what it's been like getting older and experiencing all of the issues that come with aging, and whether or not you have a support system, whether or not you're experiencing some of the things that are being talked about here, healthcare, housing, and all of these different related issues that we don't always anticipate. Give us a call, 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. And Michelle Faust-Ragavan is here in the studio with me.
And so we've been talking about some of the problems, the issues of poverty, people not necessarily accessing all the needs that they have. But let's be clear. Many of the geriatricians that I've been speaking to say that there are many good things that happen with aging. So we don't want to just color this only with the problems. Growing older, you might have more satisfaction with your marriage. You might be happy because you're doing things more independently, being retired. So although we are looking at the problems, growing old isn't all bad. And we really need to kind of highlight that in this conversation.
One of the people that we have on the line with us has actually sort of talked about those sort of two halves of the equation, that for some seniors, aging is good. And that person is Amita Sharma, who is with us from KPBS in San Diego. Amita, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
So you did a story for a series called Graying California and spoke with a couple that recently moved from Pasadena to San Diego, and they've been able to capitalize on what's been a really good real estate market for seniors.
Yeah, they were. So this couple moved from Pasadena, as you said, to Hamul. And what set them apart and others who were living a very carefree, stable environment or retirement is that they bought their homes when homes were still affordable for the middle class in California. They had steady careers, some had pensions, some had healthy retirement savings or both. And because the cost of living in this state was not as high as it is now, they were able to sock away some money for retirement. And what I've seen anecdotally is that the seniors who aren't doing well are in this position because there was a life calamity. They lost a spouse, or they had a medical issue that gutted their savings, or, you know, maybe they lost their home and their investments in the Great Recession 10 years ago. And they just couldn't recoup. They lost a job and they couldn't find another one. There's a variety of factors. Those factors combined with the high cost of housing in the state, the high cost of living in the state, has forced them to live on the edge or worse, on the streets.
And you spoke with a man who was living on the streets as well. Senior homelessness has been an issue here in L.A. County that has certainly been on the rise.
Right. I spoke with a gentleman, Carl Russell, who's been homeless for about 3 years. And, you know, he's living on, I think, $900 in Social Security a month. And that's just not enough to get him into a place, you know, to live. And what I found from that reporting on that story was, you know, overall, homelessness has gone up in the state in most major counties. And I know that the numbers are a little bit different in LA County right now. But last year, homelessness went down. Homelessness among seniors went up 22%. So it's a real challenge. And it comes back to two main reasons. There's lack of affordable housing. And then again, the way we fund retirement has changed. Retirement in the United States used to be thought of as a three-legged stool. One leg was for a company pension, another for Social Security, and the third was some form of your own retirement savings, some form of your own personal retirement savings. Well, company pensions have mostly gone away. And a lot of people are having a tough time putting money away for retirement on their own because of the cost of housing. You know, and you alluded to this earlier, or one of the guests did. In California, more than half of renters are spending over a third of their income on rent, and another third are paying more than half. So if that's how much money you're spending on housing, how much is left for food, for gas, insurance, utilities, and, you know, much less retirement savings?
Sometimes this responsibility falling to caregivers if seniors can't make it a go of it independently. I want to go to a caller who's joining us from Highland Park. Yvonne, you're on Air Talk. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thanks. Just real quick, this was 19 years ago. And one aspect that I think really needs to be addressed, and I'd want to slap him upside the head, is when my mother, something went wrong with my mother, and I was taking her to all her doctor visits, and they treated her like dirt. They treated her like she wasn't even a human being. And the medical profession, this is just one facet, but the medical profession needs to treat seniors like the human beings and the mothers and fathers that they are. They want to sweep them under the rug. And that needs to stop.
Yvonne, thank you.
I'm over 60, and I have a physician that I love, but I don't know what I'd do if I lost her.
Yeah. It raises an interesting question about who is advocating for seniors in that situation. Yvonne, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that perspective. I want to bring in someone who thinks a lot about caregivers for the elderly, and that is Donna Benton, a research associate professor of gerontology, excuse me, at USC. Donna, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on the call.
Yeah, it's such a broad-ranging conversation here. I guess I just want to raise the question to you of who is caring for California seniors right now? Is it themselves? Is it their doctors? Is it their close social circle? Who is responsible for ensuring that people have help as they age?
Well, you know, it may surprise most people, but most of the care is being done by family members and friends. So people, you know, many times think that we don't care for our older adults, but actually families care within families, and they do this without additional support and funding, and they just make it part of the family structure. So what happens is within that structure, sometimes the caregiver gets ignored. And in addition to who they're caring for, they're there to advocate, but many times the healthcare system, social service systems, don't look at the caregiver and try to support them so that they can actually be strong and help support the older adults in the community. So while we do have a lot of older adults who may be living by themselves, but usually there is a support system behind them of the family caregiver that may or may not have been brought into the conversation. They may not be aware of what's going on, or even if they are aware, they're not being supported enough so that it can be a strong family-oriented system. So we're missing a lot in not having a complete family look at how to support this aging population.
We are trying to take as broad of a look as we can here on Air Talk at aging in California, especially as we look at the wave of baby boomers who will turn 65 over the next decade. We're going to take a quick break and come right back and take some of your calls. This is Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. There are currently 4 working age Californians for every senior citizen in the state, but by 2030, that ratio is going to drop to only 3 working age Californians supporting 1 older resident. We're talking about what that means. What's it like to grow old in California? What's it like to care for those growing old in California? I want to go to a couple of callers who've joined the conversation. Let us go to Diane in Irvine. Diane, you're on Air Talk. Thanks for joining us. Diane, you with us?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're on Air Talk. What was your comment?
2 points. 1, I have a home office. And when I turned 60, I noticed that the number of robocalls asking for financial services, did I want additional planning or investments, increased exponentially as soon as I turned 60. And so I felt like there were a lot of people attempting to kind of take advantage of my age in a way. The second point is that in caring for our mother, and we live, she's out of state. What we found is, and I know one of your guests said that it's been more family oriented, and it certainly was, but there were some family members that disagreed with others. And we ended up really needing a coordinator that we had to pay out of pocket for to kind of really get the care that my mom needed to have because of the disagreements with the family. And my husband and I are really worried because our kids live out of state. They can't afford to be in California.
Yeah.
And what will happen for us?
Yeah.
You know, right.
Yeah. Thank you, Diane, for the call. I really appreciate that. I want to pick up on that first point that Diane made about seeing predatory services being targeted toward seniors and go to Richard in Larchmont. Richard, you're on Air Talk.
Hi. 35 years I've spent in the banking industry. I'm a homeowner. My home is paid off. One of the things that I've received, and I'll turn 65 next month, are repeated solicitations for reverse mortgages. A reverse mortgage basically depletes the equity of a home, and if a senior isn't business savvy, what they're going to find out is they'll be homeless if they accept such offers.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard, for the call. Richard in Larchmont joining us to talk about predatory reverse mortgages aimed at seniors. Michelle, you've been nodding along here. KPCC health reporter Michelle Faust-Raghavan, if you want to join in.
Well, I mean, if you heard my reporting, if you didn't, go to LAist.com and,
yes,
and look at it. Financial abuse, that kind of predatory scam calls, including financial abuse by family members, which is more common, at least what's being reported, it increased almost double in LA County over the past 12 years, more than 12 years. And in Orange County, we're talking about quadrupled. So very big problem, this financial abuse issue. And it is the scammers, but it's also things happening in families. So it is really important that people become savvy about their finances so that they don't fall victim to this.
Let me bring back into the conversation USC Research Associate Professor of Gerontology, Donna Benton. I really can't say that word, Donna. I apologize. But I'm curious if you can pick up on another point that was made by the caller from Irvine just a minute ago about families working together and sometimes disagreeing about family members caring for, about the family member that they're caring for. How common is that? Is that problem, and how do you deal with that?
It's not uncommon. I think that all families are, you know, have disagreements. I heard the solution that they went to an outside coordinator, and so sometimes people reach out and do a different, have a case manager or a mediator when you have these family disagreements. But one thing that I think that we could help at a state level is to have services that help people set up for the future. So the more that we're able to train as we're getting older in our 40s and 50s, we need to begin those conversations of how do I want my care in the future and be able to write it down. So that if we offer more classes and opportunities for advanced planning at a younger age, that could probably help reduce some of these tensions that happen when you're 60 and 70 and 80, and maybe you're having health problems at an older age. You kind of start those conversations earlier, but we need to make that a normal thing for everybody in the community to be discussing at every decade.
Another comment coming in about finances, and it comes from a caller on the line from Santa Barbara. Sarah, you're on Air Talk. Hi, Sara, are you with us? Okay, looks like we don't have Sara on the line. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Jerry in Laguna Woods. Jerry, you're on Air Talk.
Good morning. I couldn't agree more with all your speakers. I've been teaching a class on geropsychology, the experience of being an older adult. My students are 65 to 95 years old. I've been teaching this for like 19 years, as many as 300 long-lived people in a class, learning how to handle themselves with all of these dilemmas and plights and threats that you're talking about. And so I'm hoping the master plan will include plenty of funding for extension, community colleges, so that long-lived adults can really go and empower themselves and not just be the recipients like old children receiving services, but really be empowered long-lived adults. And, you know, I agree with those speakers who said we're behind. We already have boomers who are 73 years old. So we're 8 years into this baby boom generation. And I would love to see, as people get empowered, you see their dignity increase, their sense of integrity. They know what services to access, who to lean on, what their new place in a society is going to be. What about unretirement, continuing to work? There are many folks who want to do this. So I'm glad to see the governor really enacting this, and I'm all for empowering long-lived individuals. And, you know, as you know, with medical care, a lot of us, I'm already 77, a lot of us are going to live longer than we had ever anticipated. What are we going to do with that?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, that we're going to be living longer. Bruce Chernoff of the SCAN Foundation, an independent public charity based in Long Beach, working to transform care for older adults. Wonder if you can react to that. How do we empower seniors to be their own best financial advocates and own best advocates, period?
Well, I think both the callers and your speakers have done a really good job starting to outline that. And these are things that we hope that the team that the governor assembles to build the master plan think about. So one is picking up on what Dr. Benton said from USC. I think it's really important that we all have a plan, and it's not just about healthcare, right? It's about how we want to live our best, fullest lives. And the more that we can articulate that, the more we can write it down, the better. I think as often as we can do that, the better. So it's never too late, regardless of what age you are. But the sooner you do it and the more often you share, I think that really helps your circle of support. I think education and care coordination are incredibly important. I think one of the things that we all bump into in our personal lives is when we want to help somebody a little bit, it seems really hard to get to some decent information. And we're not always prepared or educated for what we need to know when we seek to help somebody in a family. And so I think that's really important. And then going to your last speaker, I think it's important that we recognize this is not a boomer problem. I want to be super clear. This is not about the snake that swallowed the elephant. The reality is that the demography for Gen Xers and millennials is going to look exactly like the boomers. We're actually building the system that we want for the next three generations, for 50 years. And I just think it's a great opportunity us to think about the world we all want.
This isn't just your parents' problem or your grandparents' problem. This is an ongoing problem. Stu from Fillmore writes in to say, when it comes to seniors, you have to look at the big picture. I'm 58 and living on disability. If I don't find another source of income outside of disability, I'm going to be homeless at the end of the month. I can't afford to live anywhere in the state, so I have to move to a state I can afford. I am essentially being forced out of the state. Lori in West LA called in to make an off-air comment. The people who are hired to take care of the elderly in some of these homes are not equipped caregivers. They're babysitters. We don't pay the people who take care of our children or our elderly enough, and as a result, the services are not good enough. Let me go to Sandy in Huntington Beach. Sandy, thank you so much for joining us on Air Talk.
Yes, hi. I'm a private patient advocate, and most of my senior clients, I receive calls from the adult children that live out of state. So many of my calls are when they have a parent in crisis. For instance, mom is in the ER, she's had a fall, can you meet her there and let us know what's going on? So I oversee the care in the hospital, discharge to skilled nursing facilities, helping the families find a good quality facility, and then oversee the care there. And as mentioned earlier, the safety in nursing homes is a real concern. So having a point person that understands how the system works, when they're able to be in the situation and see things that don't look right or comments that are made that aren't appropriate, that understand really what's going on. So people don't know that patient advocates exist. Our industry is relatively new. We've probably been around 8 to 10 years, certainly born out of a need. And we do quite a bit of education, but people really don't know even what to type into a search engine when they do have an adult parent in the hospital and they need help. There are a number of different types of private patient advocates, medical billing advocates, elder law advocates, geriatric case managers. So everybody's practices are really set up across the board to meet these ongoing needs. And the group, the organization that I belong to, has a network of private patient advocates, AdvoConnection, that you can go online, find the type of advocate you need in your area, and contact them and interview a couple different folks.
Thanks for the heads up about that, Sandy. Appreciate you spreading that information and for calling into AirTalk. Maura writes on the page, I work with homeless people, and while everyone these days is repeating the popular narrative that we don't have a housing problem, we have an addiction problem, that has people overlooking our seniors. I know many seniors who are homeless because they can't afford to rent apartments on their Social Security checks. Speaking of the comment I was just reading from Stu and Fillmore there, this goes for many, many disabled people as well, who cannot afford to live on their disability checks. I want to go here to one more. Well, let's see if we can get a call or two more in here. Let's go to Sarah. You're back on the line with us from Santa Barbara. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi there. So one of your speakers alluded to this previously, but Gen Xers and millennials are definitely also being affected by this, because as a millennial myself, I do know a lot of people who take care of their elderly parents. And additionally, I would like for the speakers to speak to the parallels between the economic situation, the difficulties that many seniors are, of course, facing, but also millennials. And in terms of affordable housing, I mean, these are the types of issues that millennials are facing, and especially the ones who are taking care of elderly parents. Their financial situations are in dire straits as well.
Right. Well, Sarah, let me take that question directly to Donna Benton, the research associate professor at USC, since we have limited time left. But Donna, I'm wondering if you can weigh in on that thought. I mean, that Bruce Chernoff, our other guest, was speaking to as well, the idea of these being services, a service pipeline that we're building, not just for our grandparents right now or our parents, but for ourselves going forward.
Yeah, we're all aging, so we're building our own future. And, you know, to speak to what she was saying is we need to look at issues around workforce. What policies do we have in place to help people while they're in the workforce and being caregivers, which is a large percentage of Gen Xers, baby boomers, all of them are actually in the workforce. Do our workforce policies support that? So that families, you know, we have a lot of policies that are moving towards supporting younger parents caring for babies and maternity leave. But what do we have to help? We do have paid family leave, but how much is it emphasizing helping the older adult and the younger adult be together? So as you're noticing, these are really cross-cutting generational issues. I'm going to turn it over to other people because I know Bruce probably has something to say, too.
Yeah, quick last word on this, Bruce. We've got about a minute left.
Absolutely. I just think we need to view this as a family issue and a societal issue. We're all multidimensional. We all want to raise families. We have kids we're responsible for and spouses and jobs and communities that we live in and things we love to do and faith-based organizations we participate in. And so caregiving is just one of those aspects of life. I think we're building the model we all want, and that's the purpose of a master plan, to lay a blueprint with a real sense of outcomes and directions for where we want to go as a state.
The master plan referenced by Bruce Chernoff of the SCAN Foundation, an independent public charity based in Long Beach, working to transform care for older adults, a master plan on aging. The plan called for by Governor Gavin Newsom, who signed an executive order last week to craft this plan by October of 2020. Bruce Chernoff, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
pleasure.
And Donna Benton of USC, a research associate professor of gerontology, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And Michelle Faust-Raghavan, our KPCC healthcare reporter specializing in all things elder care. Thank you so much for being here, Michelle. Talking about elder care in California, just 10 years from now, California's population will have as high a share of residents aged 65 plus as Florida has now, and talking about what that demographic shift will mean. Thanks to all of you who called and commented in on this roundtable on aging. We'll be coming right back to talk about desserts right after a quick news update with Hedy Lynn Herdes.